The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, just a warning before we begin this next item. It deals with some really difficult issues of grief and of death, and I know it'll be upsetting for some of you. So I'm just advising you to use your own discretion, because I'm joined by Stephen O'Keefe and Louise Keo O'Keefe, who are the parents of 16-year-old Mia Lily Keo O'Keefe, who was tragically killed in a hit and run just last month. And thank you both of you for coming in. How are you doing, Louise?
There's no words really to describe her loss, to be honest. It's just incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm. To get through, yeah. And Stephen, every waking moment and those when you're trying to close your eyes at night.
It just literally feels like it's getting worse day by day, to be honest. There's little things that just unexpectedly would pop up that would just catch you off guard. We literally just went to grab a coffee before the show here this morning, and just like a light shade, like a dandelion. And they were one of our favourite flowers. Like, we'd pick them and she'd be blowing them to see it to go off. But it's songs, everything, like, it's just everything around me just reminds me of her.
Everywhere you turn.
Everything.
You see her and yeah. You hear her and you remember her.
Yeah.
Louise, do you want to talk to people a little bit about what happened or what we know about what happened?
So basically we know that she was at the pedestrian cross and that we had used a lot since we moved over there.
This is in Navan.
Yeah, right around, like, on the road, almost facing the house. And we used that to walk the dog to cross the road to give him another stretch, because it was, they had taken trees up around where we live and it was so muddy and messy that we had to cross to walk him, because he was a long coat dog, so he was getting dirty, and that's why we decided to cross the road to walk him. And she had the right of way to cross the road, and we know that, you know.
This is from multiple witness statements.
She had the right of way to cross.
But tell us about that day. She decided herself, was that normal for her to take the dog out for a walk?
She always brought the dog on his last walk in the evening.
Yeah.
And that particular evening, he wouldn't go. He wouldn't walk.
He tried to pull her back into the house.
Twice he pulled her back, and it was so strange because he'd never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But he clearly didn't want to go on the walk. And I remember saying, oh, that's so strange, he doesn't want to go. And she was, oh, no, come on, and gave him a tug, and he went with her. And
something that we're kind of clinging to with guilt, I think, because if we had just told her to come back.
Or told her to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, but there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you could have done. And I'm sure you know that in your reasonable heart, yeah. But you'll always, as a parent, won't you, you'll always think, could I have done more?
Why didn't I go for a walk instead of her or something that time? Mm-hmm.
She would do that in the evening to help, because I would put Kai to bed and Stephen would put the older two to bed. And she was doing that to help us, because the dog needed a last trip to the toilet before he would go to bed. So she was helping. She, you know what I mean?
Owner, that's what we kind of done. We just helped each other, and Mia was just doing her part, and she was bringing Bowie for a walk, something that she's just done every night since we lived over the other side of Navan. She used to walk around that area as well.
And when did you know something had happened? How did you find out?
We were
sitting on the couch.
We were sitting, yeah, and we just heard sirens and cars. It was a really big commotion, and
it wouldn't be unusual to hear the sirens from our sitting room where we're sitting, because the sitting room's facing like the road outside, and you can hear sirens going up and down because it's onto the Slane Road. Yeah. The Slane Road we're going to draw the hospital.
But it was
something different. There was a lot of vehicles, and they could hear sirens of police cars, they could hear them of the ambulance. At 25 past 8, I tried to call Mia on WhatsApp, and there was no answer, and the way he said that She's probably just picking up Bowie's poo. Give her a second. And I tried to ring her a couple of more times and there was still no answer. And I just got an awful feeling. I was like, I want to go out and see where she is because I don't want her to see anything that's going on out there. I don't know what's after happening. I left the house from the back door. I walked around the back of the house. And I just remember just walking out onto the back of the houses and out onto the road, and I seen the ambulances and I spotted Bowie on the side of the road. And I just scanning the place just to see where Mia was, and
you knew
screaming for her. And I think I just alerted like 3 police at the time, and they ran to stop me because I was running to see where she was. And they grabbed hold of me and they were like, "Are you her father? Are you her father?" And I was like, "Where is she?" And I could see her on the road and there was people around walking on her. I could only kind of see her legs, and I was trying to get away from the police and they wouldn't let me. EMT came over to me and he told me that her pulse had come back. She'd been seriously injured and she was fighting. She's fighting hard, and she's under the best care right now, and you can't go over there. The guys were trying to calm me down and asking me, was there somebody that I could call, or did I want to go around to the house? And I think I was trying to call Louise, and as I was dialing, she called me. I answered the phone, and I had to tell my wife where my daughter was, and
Stephen, my heart is breaking for you. Louise, will you tell me a little bit about Mia, about the girl that she was?
She was just fantastic. She, and I know every parent says the same thing, but she was, we were particularly lucky.
Mm-hmm.
She was so kind and just always the one to make us laugh. And, you know, if somebody else said something, it wouldn't be funny. But if she said it, she'd just make it so funny. She's just everything really to our family, because...
And I saw that she loved art, and her friends in school said, if you were looking for Mia, she was in the art room.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
All the time.
I remember our mission week there a few months back. And she was to dress up as our father. She was to dress up as me. And I've quite a few tattoos, and she sat in the kitchen with me, Louise, and the kids went up to bed, and it was me and her sitting down in the kitchen. And she had a special pen, and I sat there drawing me tattoos. She picked one in particular. I used to be a tattoo apprentice years ago. And she picked that one, she says, because that one means the most to you. And I've one on my forearm with 3 cherry blossoms, and she says, "I want that as well." She says, "Because I remember you used to tell me," she says, "that like they represented me, Caitlin, and Mum." She went into school and she had that on her forearm and photographs of it, and I just...
And that was who she was,
yeah.
You know. And it's so... Aren't those memories so precious now, you know? And
she was so kind, even to her own friends. And she'd always, you know, if it was birthdays and something coming up, she would do up their lockers, and, you know, so that when they opened their lockers, it was all done up. And she'd make the decorations herself, and they'd look as if she'd bought them. But she was so, so talented at everything that she put her hand to, really, to be honest, you know. There was...
And a great help to you as well, because you both said that
oh
was the
God,
type
yeah.
of girl she was, because you've got younger children too.
Yeah, she has one older sister and then 3 younger boys, and she was always helping us,
Mm-hmm.
Anything that she put her hand to, like anything, like during COVID, and I've said this a couple of times, like in at the funeral and other interviews and that, like during COVID she just shone.
And she would have been very young at that time, but she was still a helper.
Still in primary school, so we actually homeschooled me a little bit longer than the rest of the schools, and we were at home doing projects and we were learning. I was teaching her like mathematics and like real life kind of mathematics, and I was teaching her about VAT, and I was teaching her about how to like balance out a bill. She actually taught herself through Duolingo. She was teaching herself Korean. She was able to read.
Yeah, she was really interested in Korean culture, wasn't she?
Food. She was fantastic at cooking. Just everything that she had an interest in. If she had an interest in something, she wanted to go all in and learn everything about it that she could.
I missed the smells in the house when we're cooking. And he'd get up at, you know, 7:30 in the morning, start getting the kids ready for school, and she'd be already down there kind of heating up her lunch from the night before, and the smell of garlic everywhere. And yeah, just the spices and everything. It's gone.
And Louise, can I ask you about the decision to talk about it? Because it, like, it is so raw, and I can hear it in every word that you're both saying. But you, I know you both feel that it's important to talk about what happened. Why is that?
Well, because she wasn't the only one that passed away during that time, and she hasn't been the only one since. And I just feel like there's not enough measures in place to stop the traffic from being a, it's a real danger. It's a real problem. And I just feel, you know, we had been chatting to other people. That side of the town has been left behind in ways of, you know, more measures been put into place. Precautions coming from a main road into a built up area. There was no measures there. Mm-hmm. Simply a sign. And as we've seen, not everybody is going to abide by a sign. You know, there are entitled people that will not slow down, no matter what a sign is telling them to do. So I think we need to make sure that there are measures put in place, you know, ramps if needed, or whatever other measures are needed to make traffic slow down, not just assume that they will. Because she done the right thing. She didn't do anything wrong. So we need to...
You know, the town where we live, we're living in Avon, and it's a... on the Slane Road there, and there's ramps there that, you know, can facilitate the prevention of the bus clattering off the road when it's going over a ramp. So they've halved the ramps. We grew up in Coolock, on the old Belcamp Road there and the Darndale Road there. There's chicanes in place that, like, you have to slow down going through them, you're going to damage your car. We spoke about cultures in this country, and, you know, we have different generations, of course, but we have a massive generation of young lads, even my own age, I'm 41, but younger than me, that are learning how to drive, and we're getting them to the point to pass the test but not actually teaching them how to drive. You know, and there's a lot to be said about mindset for driving, the correct mindset for driving. Mm-hmm. We need to educate people on what they're doing when they're behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you're talking about what it's done to you and to your family. But you made the point, Louise, you're not the only ones that this has happened to. I mean, no. We have seen six and seven deaths over the course of weekends.
Yeah. And there was
the weekend she was killed,
before.
There were seven people killed, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was several more then after, like in the coming days after, and we see it. It's just like reopening a wound every time you open Facebook and you see somebody else is being killed. Patrick's Day, there was somebody else injured in the, on a pedestrian crossing, you know, and see that poor little three-year-old boy, and he was killed in the car park.
So for both of you, this is about road safety.
Yeah.
I know you're particularly focused in Navan and where you're from, but all over the country.
All over the country, yeah.
The whole country, nationwide. And I really have a hard time accepting that our government is more, I think, keeping up appearances around everywhere else and kind of giving money to everywhere else. But that needs to stay here. That needs to be put into road safety. When you're more caught up with what other people outside the country think of you, that's image management. That's not maintaining your own country and looking after what needs to be put in place to keep people safe that live there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really you know, something needs to be done and things need to change and there need to be harsher and stricter laws and things need to move faster.
Yeah.
Our daughter is at home in a box and the people that caused her death are still at home. Where is the justice in that? And is there going to be any justice? Will there ever be enough justice? I don't think so, because she can never be brought back. But they've faced nothing yet, and that's just not good enough.
And this is why we're seeing an increase of these types of hit and run deaths on the roads as well, because the people that are committing them are aware of the lack of police on the roads. I'm not saying that this is a policing issue. I'm saying that this is an issue where...
We've seen firsthand that it's not the Garda.
No, it's not.
It's not the
guards that have worked with us on this have been absolutely fantastic.
They've
been beautiful people and so helpful with everything that we've gone through and supportive of us. We had to go and see Mia in the funeral home and all of her family coming to see her, 16 years of age, doing something that she'd done every single night. Normal action. We've had like school teachers come to me saying, oh, you have a daughter the same age, and that was her job to do during the evening, and this isn't something that's your fault, Stephen and Louise. This is...
Do you know, she was actually gone a little bit later. Sometimes it was 20 past 8, sometimes it was 8:30, and I said, no, go at 8 o'clock because I don't want you out there too late.
Mm-hmm. She did nothing. Then, she did nothing wrong, and you did nothing wrong.
She didn't.
She really didn't.
Louise and Stephen, thanks very much for talking to us. And I just, again, want to remember Mia Lily Kyo O'Keefe, 16 years old and such a special person for her friends and her family. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stephen O'Keefe and Louise Kyo O'Keefe there. And if any of those issues have impacted you, you can email the Samaritans at joe@samaritans.ie or give them a call. The number is 116 123. That's 116 123. We'll be back after this.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
50. Oh, hey, Watson. Just getting jacked up for the summer with my pull-up routine.
No, Buzz. We get jacked up because electric rates often go up during the hot summer months. Good thing people can lock in an affordable electric plan with APG&E.
Learn more at APGE.com.